Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now I spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. Well, I am so excited to have Ann and Mike on the podcast today. I know I shared a little bit about your work before we jumped into our conversation here, but I am hoping that you both can take a moment to share your role in education and where you're logging in from today.
Yeah, happy to. Hi, Monica. Hello, Mike. Hello, everybody. My name is Ann Cosma. I'm one of the educator innovation leads on Team Flipgrid. And what that means is I'm a teacher helping teachers. So checking in with you live from Miami, Florida today.
Wonderful. Well, it is toasty here in New Jersey, but I'm sure it's toastier where you are.
We got a good humidity feel going on right now.
And let's see, Mike, where are you from? Where are you today? What's your role in education look like?
Yes. I am Mike Mohammed, and I live just outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I'm a secondary science teacher. I've been teaching high school science for the last 20 years.
Awesome. Well, I am just really pumped to spend time with you both. Ann and I have known each other for a long time, and Mike, it's great to connect with you here today because I'm hoping we can talk about Flipgrid Shorts today and how to use this feature to create instructional videos, because it's one that I kind of stumbled across, to be honest, as I was poking around in Flipgrid looking at all the awesome features, and I've been sharing it with other educators. And I know that this idea of instructional videos is really front of mind for people who are looking in a remote learning environment or who are looking at how to create resources for kids that might be in a couple different places. So I'd love for you to describe what Flipgrid Shorts is for someone who might not have seen it or heard of it before.
Yeah, well, so Flipgrid Shorts, the whole idea is it is a creative space utilizing all of the features from the Flipgrid camera, but it's built right within your Flipgrid educator account. So right across the top, you'll notice the word Shorts. And when you click on it, you have your own unique space to create. And we love to say create here, but share everywhere. So tons of possibilities from instructional videos or creative shares, morning messages, birthday videos. I mean, you name it, but I'm going to let Mike say something because he legitimately wrote the guide, the creator's guide to Flipgrid Shorts.
Well, I think it is a fantastic tool. I think one of the biggest selling points to any teacher is that it is free. Being a teacher, we love free stuff. But like Ann said, you can share it anywhere, the videos you create. You can embed them. They give you an embed code. You can download them. You can share a link. You can put it in Google Classroom. You can even have them play in augmented reality if you use the QR codes. But it's a really easy to use video tool, but it is shockingly rich what you can add and create in there. And you have up to 10 minutes of recording time. You can use a web camera. You can upload video segments, you can screen record, and you can actually create on a completely blank whiteboard as well. So it's really powerful, but surprisingly simple to use.
Yeah, that was really my first reaction, was how simple it was. If you could do a Flipgrid post, right? If you could post something on a Flipgrid where you're giving a response to someone, then you could absolutely make one of these Flipgrid Shorts. And you both gave some great examples. And it's funny, Anne, that you mentioned the kind of birthday message one, because often when I'm talking to teachers about a tool and I'll share with them, you know, try this out for something silly, right? Or something personal, or something that you are going to kind of have an investment in right from the beginning, like a birthday party invitation or a special message, because I really liked the idea that you could add the stickers or a picture right behind you and almost seem like you were a newscaster, you know, pointing at different things and using some of the features like the ones you mentioned, Mike. I'm wondering, from your experience in the classroom or your experience even supporting other teachers, what have you seen kind of the features? What are the features that are really stood out for you?
Yeah. So what I would say, it's really funny that you do mention that being silly and bringing up that image almost like a newscaster. One of the things that I did decide to do, just to be completely silly, at the end of the week during virtual learning, I made a Jimmy Fallon style thank you video for a whole bunch of students that the ability to put their faces up there or something that they did and then talk about them was really, really fun. But I think on, you know, on a more instructional side, one of the great things is being able to create these short videos to introduce a set of notes that you're going to do in a virtual setting and posing a hook to get students thinking before they actually dive in, and really adding one of those stickers or an image to kind of get them to relate to what the topic is, to actually see what it is. Then I think giving in-depth explanations of something during the course of a note session or a lecture session, to use that whiteboard feature to diagram something, but then also show it in the real world with live video, because you can combine those two together within the same Flipgrid short. You're able to upload multiple segments or put together different segments, like a live video or one you upload or one on a whiteboard, which is really, really powerful. I've had students who actually I shouldn't say students, I've had teachers who've used shorts to actually read from books to their students, whether it be at the elementary school level or maybe just read the first page of an upcoming story that they're doing and play around with filters and stickers to kind of set the mood for them getting in there. Another way I've used it in virtual learning has been when you put something out there in instructions, sometimes for students to have to read the whole thing and really get the sense of it in a virtual environment is kind of tough. So the ability to walk through a rubric or the assignment prompts is pretty powerful. The idea that you can just take a screenshot of the text, drop it into the Flipgrid Shorts camera as an image, and just live draw over it, basically annotating it as you're talking through it, is really awesome.
And that, I'm so glad you mentioned that idea of moving through a rubric or kind of going through step by step for something. I know I've been playing around with taking screenshots of something that I might have just kind of talked about, and now I can kind of point to it and say, this is where this piece is, or if you want to navigate the space this way. And having that visual reference, I think, you know, is really important. And so, you know, coming back to this idea of instructional videos, especially now when we are kind of thinking through what the fall might look like, and in some places, knowing that we're going to be full remote or might switch on and off from being remote and face to face. You know, it's definitely a strategy I've been talking about this spring, is the idea of using pre-recorded videos during remote learning. And it's really one of the reasons that I love Flipgrid Shorts so much. And one big reason that I've been sharing this idea of video is for that community building, so someone can hear your voice and see that you're excited about something. So make that example that you gave of the thank you notes, right, is such a great example of what it might look like for some community building. And I'd love to hear from both of you if you've heard stories or you have more things from your own group when it comes to seeing this in action. I mean, what has it looked like with Flipgrid Shorts having these pre-recorded videos during remote learning?
Yeah, Monica, so we've seen so many incredible examples of the way educators are sharing not only how they're using Flipgrid, but what they're specifically using shorts for. You talk about explainer videos, whether it's for skill or strategy groups, or perhaps like a response to intervention reteaching moment that they could send out. We've seen educators, an incredible educator sharing, how do you use a tool utilizing that screen recorder feature and doing a walkthrough or demonstration. Another really, really incredible example, we saw an educator, Katie Wardrobe, out of Australia, who was making bouncing ball music sing-along videos.
No way.
And so it's just a text box, and then she's utilizing the emoji and moving that around in real time on the screen. And Mike Mohammed, you did this too last year when Shorts launched. I remember you had that teeny tiny rocket ship moving around the screen. But so many possibilities, morning meetings, newsletters, clarifying instruction, mini lectures. I mean, really, truly, you could do anything and everything with it. And we love to say it can be as simple or as sophisticated as you want. And you know, Jornay is known for saying, if you can think, you can Flipgrid.
Yeah, and you mentioned RTI, Anne, and just the idea that you could have some intervention videos, things that might support individual students, which is a great thing to mention here as well, because an instructional video doesn't necessarily have to be a whole class type of experience, right? You might have a group of students who need a little bit more support. It might be part of a kind of in the moment saying, okay, let me take these few kids through this again and create a quick screencast that's going to be helpful for them. Or it might even be a teacher who's almost creating a library of resources if they get some common questions all the time. So I like that idea of going whole class or even smaller.
Exactly. And as a former first grade teacher, I think that just comes front of mind, especially when you consider what either hybrid or remote learning looks like when you're trying to teach young scholars how to read. So you could do a book talk, you could have the teacher read aloud. But if you're teaching something like digraphs or, you know, consonant, vowel, consonant words, I've made my own bouncing ball shorts videos to send out as examples to other K-2 teachers. And I just think about, what could you do in that 15 seconds to 10 minutes, whatever length works for your goal or purpose? It's just flipping that opportunity. And Mike mentioned using the Flipgrid augmented reality QR codes. You could deliver them, leave them for a student, mail them out, send them digitally. And when somebody scans that, it's an augmented reality experience where you could be teaching that RTI lesson or that skill group still in a different way.
Yeah. And Mike, I'd love to hear from you a bit about the augmented reality connection, because I think more and more people know what Flipgrid is or have tried it out, especially during remote learning, but the idea of Flipgrid Shorts might be new to them. And this idea of the augmented reality component might be new for them too. So could you tell us a little bit about that and maybe ways that you've used it?
Yeah, you know, it's what's really powerful in the Flipgrid app. It basically, if you print off the QR code associated with a video short, which you can do, and in addition to all the download features, once you print that out and have it out, if you use the Flipgrid app either on a tablet or on a smartphone and scan that QR code, it'll bring it up in your viewfinder in a three-dimensional world where it is the video playing outside in the space that you're in, which is really great if you've ever done gallery walks with students where they can record responses and students can physically enter your space and walk around. But I really do love it for two other things: for providing verbal instructions for worksheets that I create, putting them on the bottom rather than just relying on something that's written, or for stations where at each station where students are being asked to do a different thing, there may be some written instructions, but providing them with that auditory and visual video as well to supplement that.
Wonderful. And yeah, I've seen the AR component, the augmented reality component in action. And, you know, what you mentioned about being in a physical space, right? You can move around, you can hear from different students, they can explain their work, even if they're not physically in that mm-hmm. corner of the classroom with the diorama or the thing that they've made. I usually say, you know, it's a glitter and glue type of project, right? But they might have that digital component to layer their voice right on top of it. So that's fantastic for sharing that piece. And you know, the idea of instructional videos might be intimidating for someone who is looking to connect with their students when they're working remotely, or who hears the idea of movie making or video creation, or even the term instructional video, right, might feel a little intimidating to them. So if someone is getting started making instructional videos for the first time, they've kind of committed to this for the upcoming school year, what are some best practices that might help them think through what they want to make and maybe even help them with the workflow?
Mike, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, sure. One thing, again, we talked about starting simple and starting a little bit light and doing something maybe that's not super heavy content at the start of the year. But I think another thing, one thing that I do love and my students love about the Flipgrid camera, and this is in the shorts too, is the ability to plan something mm-hmm. out using their sticky notes. You can bring up these sticky notes and place them on your screen. You can type everything you want to say or just type a little bit. And one great thing about them that I think works fantastic is you can move them to the top of your screen so it's really close to your camera. Yeah. So you are actually looking at your camera rather than looking somewhere else when you decide to actually start recording.
Nice. And that's sometimes yeah. those little things make a big difference, right? Just even the look at the camera, have your notes by the camera can change the quality by, you know, 30% or 20%, right? Really just take it up a notch.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that's such a great point. I remember, I think Claudio Zavala is one of the first ones I heard say, move that sticky note right under the camera. And back in the day in my own classroom, I used to put little stickers, actual physical stickers on the devices and told the students, that's where the camera is. So keep looking or smiling at that sticker. And that's how we build, you know, eye contact. But there are definitely options. I love to encourage educators with a play to learn mindset. So if you're getting started, like Mike said, start simple and perhaps use that digital whiteboard to show, you know, the steps of how to solve an equation, or use the emojis as visual supports. There's tons of flexibility and there is no right or wrong way to do it. Educators are the experts in their content area. So I would definitely just say, just try something. And if you don't like it, click that delete button or use the editing tool and add a new segment. Don't be afraid to just play to learn.
I love that. So just this idea of having a bit of a plan, right? Maybe using sticky notes, maybe having that whiteboard there to take someone through steps, to embrace the playfulness of being able to jump into a space and share. You know, I love that Flipgrid has both the editing capability in case you do want to pause or you want to go back and change a segment. But I know when I talk to teachers, I tell them, you know, try not to overthink this too much, right? If you sneeze in the middle of something, you don't have to start from the beginning, right? You know, just keep going through, right? Let it feel real, because that's one of the benefits of being on video and sharing with students is you have that connection that you can't have, right? When you aren't physically next to them, you can let them hear your voice, see your energy and your excitement. And yeah, that content piece is huge, right? You know what it is that you want to get across. And this tool really helps transfer that message to students who might be watching. So I want to ask a question that I know doesn't have a single answer. So maybe it's more of a question that will spark a conversation. And it's one that I get a lot. When you are giving recommendations for instructional videos and thinking about best practices, how long should a video be for students?
That's a great question. And when I do my own PD for Flipgrid, I always encourage the educator to determine whatever length they feel is right for the prompt that they're writing for. So if you flip that and think about maybe different learning modalities or age of student, you know, a 10-minute video might be a long video for young scholars to watch. But if you're in, you know, Mike's in AP physics or a lecture at the university or higher ed level, 10 minutes for a video instruction might make perfect sense. So that's part of the beauty of the flexibility with the tool as well. You have up to 10 minutes. So if you get going and you think, I didn't really hit the content I needed to, add a new segment and lengthen it a little bit. So I don't know that I have, you mentioned there's not one right answer, but I think the best answer would be once you start, you know. Again, educators know the content that they're teaching. And if you want to get from point A to point B, you have the flexibility of that 10-minute length of time.
Perfect. And Mike, what have you seen when it comes to kind of ideal video length for your group? I know Anne was sharing, thinking about some ways this might look in an elementary classroom, right? And some examples from her experience with your group. What have you found to be the kind of time you tend to fall into when you're creating a content like this for your students?
Yeah, when I do a content like this, I do like to, even though I could probably create a 15-minute video or a 20-minute lecture, I do like to break it up into chunks. And that idea that if I'm done kind of talking about one specific thing, that's good enough. The idea that we can cover one idea and then seeing where that break is, kind of where Anne said. And also kind of like one guide that I go by is if I'm not willing to rewatch it at that length, to see if I did a good job, maybe it's too long.
What a good kind of gut check.
Pro tip right there. That's awesome, Mike.
That is perfect. I love that because I think that's so true, right? If we can't stomach it, right? If we can't sit through that, and if we don't have the patience when we are the person who's probably the most enthusiastic about the content, right? If we're thinking about ourselves and our students, right? So if we can't sit through and just make sure it feels good, if we're going to say, oh, this is kind of long, right? Then maybe it is long, right? So that's definitely something to consider. And I'm glad that you were both able to give perspectives on a question. I know I get a lot, and as a question that I'm sure you're hearing too, which is around what kind of length is appropriate and what's going to be the right fit for the group. So when it comes to these general best practices, you shared some great tips for planning and for creating the content. And we talked a little bit about augmented reality as one way to distribute it. But when you make these shorts, when you have your instructional video, what does the workflow tend to look like from getting them from Flipgrid to your students so that they're able to consume and interact with this content that you've made?
Yeah, there are so many different ways, but there's two ways I'll traditionally do it. We use Canvas as our LMS, so I'm able to use the embed code and put it right in there. But using that link that you're given is really powerful, whether that be in an email or posting it in the daily agenda, or one of the tools that I use a lot for content delivery is Pear Deck. Mm-hmm. And they have a website integration slide. And if you just paste that right in there, the video will play right in your presentation.
Oh, nice.
That shorts video.
That's great. I didn't realize that you could do that with Pear Deck. That's awesome. So, Anne, what are some things that might come to mind for you in terms of best practices you've seen from teachers who are getting this into the hands of their kids?
Yeah, so I love that Mike said, you know, he's using the embed code right into Canvas or downloading the video and putting in something like Pear Deck. Not only can you use simply copy and pasting the URL, as mentioned, there's that augmented reality QR code, but there's also a share directly to Microsoft Teams and Google Classroom, as well as share on Remind. So lots of flexibility, and I love to let folks know it can be as simple as copying and pasting the share link. Mm-hmm. So I text that link to people all the time. I DM it in Twitter messages. I have downloaded my own videos and embedded them in other tools for some app smashing things. But I oftentimes just use the copy and paste link, but a lot of folks who are using Microsoft Teams or Google Classrooms or other LMS tools, there definitely is again, flexibility with how you can share it out. There's a ton of magic in that Flipgrid AR QR code, though, and that just makes the whole viewing experience super unique and totally special, too.
And that's so great, too. Go for it, Mike. Mm-hmm.
One of the great things about being able to share the link or the options that they give you for sharing is that, and this is one thing that I've realized in terms of accessibility for a lot of my students, because I do teach fully inclusive physics sections, is that these videos have closed captioning on them, automatic closed captioning, and you can also edit those captions if you would like. But that ability to have that closed captioning is super powerful for many of our learners.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is something that I think is really fantastic within the Flipgrid space, is the accessibility component, especially with the Microsoft connection and all the great things that happen at Microsoft with Immersive Reader and their resources. So, you know, that idea of having this ready for anyone to consume is so important. And, you know, although you both shared some different ways to get, you know, this Flipgrid Shorts instructional video into the hands of students, I love how you both came back around to that link idea too, right? So yes, you could put this in your LMS and you can post it in Teams or Google Classroom. But, you know, as you said, Anne, with just sending it out as a text, right, you might create a video that's for families or for parents to watch. And maybe you just drop it into an email, right? Or you just want to get it to them as opposed to having them go kind of around their kids into a learning management system to access it. So that's really great. And so before we finish up today, is there anything else, you know, we should know about instructional videos, Flipgrid Shorts, or just some ways that you all are connecting with students and families during this remote learning time?
Mike, I'm going to let you go first.
Well, I think one thing that we touched on was the ability to add things to your videos. And I would just keep on telling teachers to show their personality. Think about your tone when you're talking, be yourself, connect with your students. And there's a lot of fun stickers and accessories and filters that allow you to have some fun and really show your personality especially when we're at this distance, where you're really trying to show some of yourself to your students that they may not get from not seeing you in person. That idea that you can still show yourself in your authentic nature as a person.
And just to piggyback on that idea, I love how you said show your authentic self. That was my why in the classroom: empower authentic voice for an authentic audience. And if you think about remote learning communities or hybrid or even face-to-face, it's the power of community and connection. And seeing a video of somebody is like experiencing sunshine personified, right? And that connection that you feel in your community. So I definitely think the freedom to create, the flexibility provided within the tools. And as mentioned, there is no right or wrong way to do it. So for any educator listening or anybody who's listening, just jump in. And I say it all the time, push buttons and play to learn, because if you start out with a very simple video, let's say it's one text box with a vocabulary word or phrase, your voice combined with that or the visual support on the screen, that's just providing a new opportunity for somebody. So there's tons of flexibility when you create. And I love that Shorts gives educators the ability to have some fun with the tool and make unique content to support their learning community. But for me, it comes back to connection. And I'm a visual learner, so seeing something on the screen, even if it's a simple selfie style video, it's seeing a smile and it's making that connection with the person on the other end.
Well, I think now if listeners haven't tried out Flipgrid Shorts or they've been hesitant about instructional videos, they're definitely going to be ready and inspired based on everything you both shared today. There's just so much you can do, and I appreciate the actionable strategies and the tips that you both shared. And if people want to connect with you and maybe learn more about your work or learn more about what they can do with Flipgrid Shorts, what is the best way to connect with you? Mike, you want to jump in and let us know how we can keep connected?
Yeah, I think the easiest way to get in touch with me is on Twitter. My handle is @mo_physics, @mo_physics. And that's probably the easiest way to reach out and see what I'm thinking or ask me any questions about Flipgrid Shorts.
Yeah, I would highly encourage everyone to follow Mike. He posts incredible ideas, awesome examples, and of course is like an all-around awesome guy.
Well, thank you both so much for being here. And before we jump out, where can we learn more about Flipgrid and follow you?
Yeah, awesome. So for anybody who's curious, you can always find us at Flipgrid or with the hashtag #FlipgridForAll across all social, Twitter, Insta, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, all the places. But definitely feel free to reach out and get connected. My handle is @AnnCosma723 on social as well. And I'd love to help in any way that I can.
Well, thank you both so much for being on with me today.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you for the opportunity. Love the podcast.
Now, after the interview, I had a chance to watch a few of the examples that Anne and Mike mentioned. And of course, I've included them in the show notes so you can watch them too at classtechtips.com/podcast. Mike spoke about the thank you notes video that he made for students that took a spin on Jimmy Fallon's thank you notes, and it was hilarious and so sweet. Such a great way to celebrate students. So let's make this EdTech easy. First, identify a topic you want to share with students. Then, jot down a few notes or things you want to say. Next, use the Flipgrid Shorts tool to add stickers, images, or sketches. Finally, share what you've made with a link or embed code with your students.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.